Stone and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025, 1063, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, thanks to the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. So here's the email that I just got from Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt football, the 117th Vanderbilt, Tennessee game is sold out for immediate release. Vanderbilt, Tennessee game sold out for kickoff at First Bank Stadium at 6:30 on SEC Network. Vanderbilt Athletics announced that Saturday's game, football game versus Tennessee, is sold out. Fans looking to purchase tickets should visit the secondary marketplaces. Now, I didn't say which ones they were because no free shout-outs, but it includes in the release. As previously announced, tailgate parking lots are also sold out. So they've already announced ahead of time that the parking lots were sold out. So that now the tickets, the actual tickets, first-hand tickets, are sold out. I'm going to tell you who that looks bad on. Who do you think that looks bad on?
I don't know.
It looks bad on Tennessee.
Why?
You're having the season for the ages, and your fans didn't buy up all the Vandy tickets from, you know, the official, like, Vandy tickets, like the first-hand tickets? You all didn't buy up the first-hand tickets? Really?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm a Tennessee fan, and I'm, you know, after the first few weeks, and I'm thinking, man, I cannot wait to go to a Tennessee game. I don't know if I'm circling the Vanderbilt game to be the one game that I go to.
If you're a Tennessee fan and you live in Nashville?
I would go to that game, yeah.
Okay. That's embarrassing. Now, let's get to the second part of this, which is, I don't think Tennessee is going to lose to Vanderbilt on Saturday, but I didn't think Tennessee was going to give up 63 points and lose to South Carolina last Saturday. So I know there's a lot of Vanderbilt fans out there that think, okay, Vanderbilt's won a couple in a row. Vanderbilt, you know, looks like a real team. They just beat Florida. Now we're on the upswing, and Tennessee is on the downswing, and this is the week that we're going to beat them. Like, I know that that's probably how some Vandy fans are feeling. And Tennessee fans are probably a little disappointed given what happened last week and the fact that Joe Milton is in there instead of Hendon Hooker.
A little disappointed?
So, I think, you know, it's Tennessee is, you know, is probably feeling down here and Vanderbilt's feeling up here. But let me just say one thing. If Tennessee loses this game on Saturday, it will all but eliminate any chance they have at a New Year's Six Bowl. If they do not go to a New Year's Six Bowl this year, even the Cotton Bowl, which I know the Cotton and the Peach Bowl technically count as much as the other bowls, but I just don't view the Cotton and the Peach Bowl as much as I view the Sugar Bowl or the Rose Bowl or the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But even if they go to the Cotton Bowl, that's at least something. If they lose this game to Vanderbilt, everything that you thought they earned this season is out the window. They will literally have nothing to show for this season. They don't make banners that you hang up at the stadium that said, "We beat Alabama." Those don't exist. Just ask Texas A&M. That's not a thing. So if Tennessee does not win this game on Saturday, and I think they're going to win, but if they do not win this game on Saturday, then that dream season that we have spent all year watching every week, and I even admitted that I took the cheese on it, and I have nobody to blame but myself for that because I have watched Tennessee football my whole life, and I should have expected a massive crash landing at some point. I just didn't think it was going to be to Spencer Rattler, but apparently it was. But they will have accomplished nothing this year if they lose on Saturday.
I mean,
do you know how crazy that is?
And the sad thing is, too, the fact that we're even having a conversation, that there is a legitimate possibility that Tennessee could lose to Vanderbilt on Saturday. That's really sad. And I'm with you. I don't think Tennessee is going to lose to Vanderbilt. I still think that even with Joe Milton, so I think Tennessee's a better team. But, I mean, the fact that Vanderbilt's red hot and Tennessee very much so is not, and without their starting quarterback, I mean, it's a legitimate conversation that we can have. And a few weeks ago, Tennessee fans were spreading on Twitter about checkering Vandy.
They didn't even buy all the tickets.
What a freaking fall from grace that is.
They didn't even buy all the tickets.
And what a
shame.
They're talking about
checkering Vandy, and they didn't even buy all the tickets.
I mean, it is a shame.
How can you do that if you don't buy the tickets? How can Tennessee fans be sitting there talking about checkering Vandy if they didn't buy all the tickets to the Vandy game?
I don't know.
Tennessee
but
fans,
they've been talking about it for a long time.
Tennessee fans are really loud, but they may not be as strong as they act. Because the fact that they didn't sell out that Vandy game, that's embarrassing. But I go back to this, which is everything that they have worked for this season. This season means nothing if they lose Saturday.
No.
Nothing.
No, it doesn't.
There's nothing good that happened this year if they lose. There is nothing. There is no hat to wear.
And Tennessee fans.
There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And not only is there nothing, but Tennessee fans will then try to figure out ways to try to explain how it really was something when in reality it was nothing.
And I mean, Tennessee fans all day long can take their own moral victories away from this and say, we beat Bama. We were number one in the country for a week.
Nobody cares about that.
You take whatever moral victories you want. If you, as a Tennessee fan, if you want to have your own personal mementos in your, you know, on your, in your man cave, do it all you want. If you want to have a 52-49
plaque. We beat Alabama?
Yes. You can do that if you want.
That is so sad.
You can do that if you want.
That is sad.
But just know that nobody else in America cares.
Nobody.
And this team was too good.
You'll get
for nobody in America to care about it.
If you celebrate this team, if this Tennessee team does not win Saturday and does not go to a good bowl, like does not go to a New Year's Six bowl, there is nothing to celebrate. And if you celebrate it, you will be laughed at. In fact, I don't even think Hendon Hooker's getting invited to New York. There will be nothing to celebrate. And if you do celebrate, you will be laughed at. So I hope that the Tennessee players can find their way to usher in some peace over Thanksgiving in the locker room and not getting any fights and anybody get suspended and them not lose to Vandy. I hope they can find a way. I hope for their sake. For Tennessee fans' sake of wanting to buy a sweatshirt or travel to a meaningful bowl game and not be sent to, what was that bowl that Brett McMurphy said Florida's in next week? The Reala Bowl or whatever?
I don't know.
The Reality Bowl or whatever the hell it's called.
The Reality Bowl?
Not to be, that's what they said Florida's in. The Reala Bowl or Reality or, I don't know. It's a made-up bowl game I've never heard of.
Well, if it's the Reality Bowl, it's clearly not made up.
Don't be sent there. Like, don't go there. Because if you do, there's nothing good. There will be no difference in your season this year. There's no difference between your season and Arkansas' season this year if you lose this game on Saturday. No difference.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
What is Arkansas's record right now?
Arkansas beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
That's just as good of a win as Bama.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not. You know that good and well.
No, right now the SEC has five teams that are like on the cusp of the New Year's Six. And it is Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Alabama, and Ole Miss. Arkansas 6-5?
Yes.
Same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
It's absolutely the same
thing. No, it is not.
It's just like Kentucky.
And a win over Ole Miss is not the same thing as a win over Alabama. Oh, if you want to argue about analytics and records, that's fine.
It's not about analytics.
The sentimental.
I am talking about being able to take something away and hang something up to celebrate your season. There is nothing about Arkansas' season to be hung up.
No.
There is nothing about Kentucky's season to be hung up. There is nothing about any of these seasons. None of that matters. The sentimental value of beating your rival only matters to you. It doesn't matter to anybody else. And so that is it. Like that, they're not hanging a banner at Vanderbilt if they win this game on Saturday. Though
they
I
might.
Think technically they are, because wouldn't that make Vandy Bowl eligible?
Yes.
So at least Vanderbilt can get something out of it by winning. But Tennessee, you get nothing out of this season if you lose. Nothing. So I hope you win. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And I cannot get over this whole not selling all the tickets at Vanderbilt. How did that happen? How did they not sell all the tickets? 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, right here, 1025-1063 The Game. Be sure to tune into the College Football Game of the Week. That's right, which is always right here on 1025 The Game. The College Football Game of the Week, MTSU Florida International, Saturday at 5 o'clock. The College Football Game of the Week is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports and Superbook Sports. Voted the number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Dabo Sweeney turning the knife a little bit at Tennessee. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
They're like, okay, we beat South Carolina, we beat Vandy. They're in the playoffs. You know, they're flipping burgers at the house, you know, having a cold drink, you know, watching the championship weekend. What are we? Are we 3 or 4? Where are we going? You know, are we in Arizona? Are we in Atlanta? And next thing you know, you getting that, you forget you got to go play.
But man, I think you just
got to give all the credit to South Carolina. I think they just flat out kicked their butt. They showed up. They executed incredibly well. And man, Rattler, I mean, he was hot, and those receivers were hot.
Dabo on his coach's show last night. Tennessee, if they win these two games against these bad teams, they're at home flipping burgers and drinking a cold drink. And instead, they out. And Dabo not only did that on the coach's show, he also took a crack at Tennessee and said, quote, Tennessee is not built defensively. They're built to outscore people. Also said that Spencer Rattler had a day and a half in the pocket to be able to throw the ball.
Of course he said that.
We're not going to let him do that this Saturday.
He's pumping up South Carolina's tires. He knows.
Any problem with what Dabo said?
No.
You know why I don't have a problem with it?
Because it's true.
All of it's true. Tennessee overlooked South Carolina. That's why they allegedly got in that fight in the locker room during the week and Jeremy Banks got suspended. And all of a sudden, they didn't show up on Saturday. Dabo's right. Their defense is not very good. It's built to outscore people. We already knew that. And Spencer Rattler did have all day in the pocket. So don't be mad at Dabo because he's telling you the truth.
I'm mad at Dabo. I'm just saying I find it very convenient that he can pump up the tires to Spencer Rattler the week that Clemson plays Spencer Rattler in the Gamecocks.
Well, I mean, he's got to do that. But at the same time, don't be mad at Dabo because you went out there and sucked on Saturday. Don't be mad at Dabo Sweeney. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. I am still bothered by the fact that Tennessee didn't buy up all those Vandy tickets.
Why are you so bothered by that?
Because, like, if you matter as much as you say you matter, like Tennessee fans do, you buy those tickets. There shouldn't be a ticket to be found.
I'm surprised that was the case. Are we not surprised that those were not sold out?
I'm shocked.
I mean, I'm surprised that I assumed that it would be sold out. I mean, did they just sell out, or did you get an email saying that it is sold out?
No, it literally was. Vanderbilt has officially sold out. As we've already said, the parking has been sold out, but now we have officially sold out.
I mean, I'm kind of surprised.
I have one theory. In order to buy individual tickets to this game, you had to buy, like, a package that included other games. And now that there are no other games, it is, like, you know.
That's a fair theory.
Yeah.
But I'm not assuming that that theory is true. I'm just throwing that theory out there as a theory.
And it's also Thanksgiving weekend. And
that
I understand that there are a lot of...
acceptable.
Why?
Because if you have a good fan base, your fan base goes on Thanksgiving weekend.
I know.
Your fan base buys tickets on you think Kentucky basketball? Where's Kentucky basketball playing? What are they, like in Cancun or something right now? They probably sell that out of Kentucky fans over Thanksgiving that are traveling to Cancun just to watch the Cats. Like, that's just, I can't get over it. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Now, Vanderbilt hoarded the tickets and said you have to buy season tickets in order to buy these, then maybe
Or if Vanderbilt ticket holders weren't willing to sell tickets to Tennessee fans, which I feel like there's probably some harbored resentment there
That has nothing to do with the individual game tickets. The first-hand tickets have nothing to do with individual Vandy ticket holders. They have everything to do with not enough people went to the box office and bought those tickets, unless Vandy itself was holding back those tickets. What do we have in our text line? 615-737-1025.
Joel texts in, says, beating Bama and Jared's beloved Nick Saban for the first time in 15 years is not nothing. By the way, the Vols haven't lost the Vandy game yet.
Let's go up there and hang a flag beat Nick Saban for the first time ever. Right, hey. That's me putting the flag up the flagpole that says, beat Nick Saban by 3 points in one game. Congratulations. You know what? The Titans should hang a banner for the Titans should hang a banner for when they beat Brady and Belichick in the regular season in 2018. That team finished 9-7. They didn't go to the playoffs. They didn't really do anything spectacular, but they did beat Brady and Belichick. So go ahead and hang up a banner, because that's all you got. If you don't get to a good bowl game this year, that's all you got. We beat Nick Saban. That's not nothing. I mean,
if individual fans want to feel that way, by all means. But just know that nobody else in college football is going to look at Tennessee and say, well, at least they beat Alabama.
And for the most part, like, I hate to say this, having nice things doesn't really, or it shouldn't really make one feel better about themselves. What it really is supposed to do is it's supposed to make other people feel better about you, not make you feel better about you. So if it makes you feel better about you to say, well, we beat Nick Saban, well, okay, that's fine. But as far as, like, taking that to anybody else, nobody else is going to sit there and
nobody,
be like,
no.
Well,
and what do you have to show for it is my question. It's the same thing as A&M last year. Yeah, you beat Nick Saban in Alabama, but what do you have to show for it?
What bowl did A&M play in last year?
I have no idea, but they were
8-4. That's the point.
They were 8-4.
That's the point. All right, let's see. The official SEC bowl. One of these is called the Reliable. I don't know which one it is. I'm thinking it's the Citrus Bowl.
No, this is the Cheez-It Bowl.
Cheez-It
is
Citrus. You're right. Cheez-It is Citrus.
The ReliaQuest Bowl.
What the hell is that?
Is that the Citrus Bowl?
No, the Cheez-It is the Citrus Bowl.
Oh, right. I just said that. Well,
Outback Bowl, maybe? Where is the ReliaQuest Bowl?
Outback Bowl. Yes, it's in Tampa.
Yeah, if you go to the Outback Bowl, that is an unmitigated disaster.
That is the ReliaQuest Bowl now.
After where you were 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Ian, what is this info that has been passed along to you?
Oh, just someone called in and said they were trying to buy some tickets a couple weeks ago to the Vandy UT game. And
from Vandy?
Yeah, from Ticketmaster.
Uh-huh.
And he just said that it was about $170 and the $170 a ticket, and the only tickets left were in the uppers.
I mean, if you're the great fan base that you say you are, you pay up. It's not
do
like
not pocket watch.
It's not like they're $17,000.
Not fair to say.
I think it's completely fair to say. You think Ohio State would have bought $170 tickets?
I don't know what somebody's personal finances are.
No, do you think Ohio State would have had fans that would have been able to afford $170 to sit in the upper deck at a stadium that doesn't even really have an upper deck?
Yes, I do think that there are probably people out there that can afford $170 tickets, but I'm not going to say that person wanted to.
At Ohio State, I'm not mad at that person. I'm just saying that the Tennessee fan base that always brags about how great they are, they won't pay $170 for upper-level tickets in a stadium that doesn't even technically have an upper level. Not an upper level on that stadium. If they put an upper level on that stadium, the whole stadium would collapse. You know how some stadiums, they're like, there's not a bad seat in the stadium?
That's because it's small.
Vandy's the opposite of that. 615-737-1025. Trevor Maddich will join us next. Who is to blame for why Tennessee lost? And how bad is the reality of where the Vols are now? We'll get to that with Trevor. Edley's Barbecue. If you are going to the game this weekend and you're going to tailgate, let Edley's handle the tailgate prep. Get your smoked wings in easy 25 and 50 count platters. Easily take smoked pulled pork, brisket, turkey, scratch made sides, all family style. Edley's is perfect for game day at home or at the stadium. And I know this because I absolutely devour Edley's any opportunity I get. I've told you how much I love their wings there. I love their turkey and I love their sides. I mean, just thinking about it right now has me excited about, you know what, maybe I need to go ahead and go to edleysbbq.com and order up some Edley's right now. That's how much I love Edley's. Everything I've ever had from Edley's is utterly delicious. So if you're going to the game and you want to have just the best tailgate feast, let Edley's do it. Again, you can take all the sides family style. It's perfect. If you're going to the game, they'll pack it for you. If you're having everybody at the house, again, perfect. Call your neighborhood Edley's or order online at edleysbbq.com. That's Edley's Barbecue, Nashville's best barbecue 4 years in a row. That's edleysbbq.com. Stillman and Company, rivalry weekend, Ohio State, Michigan, a play-in for the playoff on Saturday. And now all these other teams are looking to get their way into the playoff, and Tennessee's not in it. Tonight they'll release the rankings, and honestly, I'm kind of bummed out. Won't have anything to yell about tomorrow because let's not kid ourselves. What the committee does with TCU or Michigan or any of those teams, I'm not sure anybody cares about compared to what we thought last week and we analyzed it and everything else. And that's what Tennessee's disastrous showing against South Carolina did to everybody. Trevor Maddich joins us now, ESPN college football analyst here on the program. Trevor is presented by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts, wall-to-wall sports, and by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, where experience matters. Trevor, what happened to the Vols on Saturday? Why was it so bad?
Well, I think they admit that they, at least some of the defenders in, you know, after the game, admitted that they kind of overlooked South Carolina. They thought that they could just roll their helmets out there and win the game, that they didn't have to earn it. And that means the week of preparation. I mean, the whole Jeremy Banks issue, which is still a little bit foggy, but he didn't make the trip. They're starting outside linebacker because of a possible why. There's speculation that he was in an altercation or a fight with Hendon Hooker, for goodness sake. But I don't know what the truth is about that. There's just
it
all
sounds
a bunch of rumors.
Like, from what I've been told, that you're correct.
Yeah. And so that gets in the way of your focus. And so all those things. But ultimately, I went back and watched that tape. Ultimately, you know, the impression that people have is because South Carolina scored, what was it, 63? That the Tennessee defense didn't show up. But you go back and look at that, and Spencer Rattler, the South Carolina quarterback, was on fire. He made a bunch of fantastic throws against coverage that was pretty tight, sometimes about as tight as you can possibly expect in college football. But the ball got in on time to the right spot in a way that allows his receiver to keep on running. And, you know, if the ball wouldn't have been quite that perfect, wouldn't have been a big play, would have been a decent play. But that happened over and over again. So I think the combination of the Tennessee possibly being a little bit complacent heading into this week, with Spencer Rattler playing better than any other quarterback I've seen this entire year in one single game, and he was that good, is the reason that this perfect storm caused Tennessee's ship to crash on the rocks.
Here's where I'm going to stop you, Trevor, because I have watched Spencer Rattler play a handful of times, both at Oklahoma and South Carolina, and I don't think he's very good. And I'm sure he had the game of his life, and Dabo Swinney talked about how well he played. And the one thing I would say is, do you think he would have hung up 63 points on Georgia? The answer is no. Everybody knows it. Tennessee's defense was not this bad all season, but they did play that bad on Saturday. And honestly, I want answers as to why. Like, I want, you know, Bob Shoop yesterday, we asked him who to blame, and Coach Shoop was like, well, you know, this is the kind of performance where everybody shares in the blame. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I want to know who to blame, Trevor, for a South Carolina team that scored 6 points at Florida the week before, scoring 63 against a team that we thought was contending for a playoff spot.
Well, you know, who to blame? You know, the biggest thing, I mean, obviously the defense gave up all those plays, right? But again, that so many of those plays were pretty well defended. I mean, I'd tell you, Jared, if I thought that they were lazy, that they were busted assignments, that they weren't trying hard enough, but they were there. It's just that there was just such precision. I mean, Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma never played like this.
So
never,
you're saying,
not once.
Trevor,
I never saw.
You're saying that this is like Nick Foles' Super Bowl against the Patriots.
Kind of like that, yeah. I mean Rattler, I mean, Hendon Hooker, Heisman Trophy candidate, right? His total QBR for this game, remember, quarterback rating, which rates more than just your passing. It rates everything you do. 100 is perfect. 50 is average. Hooker was 83. Spencer Rattler was 97 out of 100. 97. Now, part of the reason for that, if you want to point a finger somewhere, you point a finger at the pass rush, because they did not bother him at all with the pass rush. There were times when they rushed forward, it looked to me like the Tennessee pass rush was just trying to keep Rattler from breaking out of the pocket. They just wanted to let him throw because they didn't think that he could do that consistently. There were times when they would blitz. There were times when they would stunt. Overall, they never really bothered him at all. And so if you want to blame anybody, you could blame the fact that when it was clear that Rattler was on a hot, 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 hot streak, Tennessee was unable to make any adjustments, whether it was with personnel or with scheme, that changed the time that Rattler had in the pocket and moved him off his spot. That just did not happen enough. So if you're going to blame somebody, that's what to blame.
Is there any silver lining? Trevor Maddich is our guest. Is there any silver lining for Tennessee with their loss on Saturday?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
would you like to share that with the class?
Yeah, I will share that with the class. If I drop my marble on the floor, though, I have to drop it in the fishbowl, so I'm not going to do that. But when it comes to, this is an ugly moment, right? It feels ugly because it is ugly. They never should have lost this game, especially the way that they lost it. It's just ugly.
And with everything at stake,
they were prepared going in. What?
And with everything they had at stake.
Oh yeah, I mean, they win this game and then they beat a kind of a resurgent Vanderbilt. But a Vanderbilt that doesn't have nearly as much firepower as the Volunteers do. And chances are very close to 100%, I think. The statistics are, I don't know what, 50, 60. But they would have made the playoff, I think, had it not been for this loss. So what was at stake was enormous, and they squandered it. Again, they didn't go out and play Ohio State in this game and lost to a better team. They went out and squandered it against a team that is trying to build to where Tennessee is now, but they're not even close. And they squandered it. That's true. And that's why it feels so ugly. What's the silver lining? The silver lining is that expectation. Everybody expected Tennessee to win this game, beat Vanderbilt, and make the playoff in year, what is it, three now of Heupel? Three?
Two.
And two. Okay, good. That's even better. So in year two of Heupel, it just feels like longer, I guess.
It does.
In year two of Heupel, with two games to go, they were in the catbird seed to make the playoff. Who would have thought they'd even be here? At the beginning of the season, if I would have told you that, Jared, you would have laughed me off the air.
I'm laughing now.
Yeah, well, you're laughing now, but the point is that the expectation from you, from me, and from the rest of college football was that Tennessee deserved to be in the playoff as long as they took care of business. That is a high expectation that Tennessee earned. And as it is, they can still win 10 games in the regular season and head into the offseason, you know, possibly with a bowl win, head into the offseason with a ton of momentum, having proven that Heupel's system works. People don't have to wonder about it anymore. They don't have to believe that the coaches are saying buy in and do all this hard work, and down the road we're going to succeed. They see the success now. What they need to do is improve that defense. But I think that help will be on the way. That's the silver lining. Am I being Pollyanna? Am I saying, no, it doesn't matter that they lost this game? No, it's crushing that they lost this game. It's even more crushing that they lost it the way that they lost it. But at the same time, for them to be in a position of expectation that they put themselves in heading into this game is an extraordinary leap forward for this program.
Here's the hard thing, though, that I feel about that, Trevor, which is, that success in sports is not linear. It is not, well, the Chicago Bulls got to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost in Game 7 to the Detroit Pistons, and so the next year the Bulls go out and they sweep the Pistons and they win the NBA Finals. I mean, I know that happened, but that's not normally what happens on a consistent basis. The way I look at it as Tennessee had their chance. The stars aligned. They got the performance they needed against Alabama. They were right there, and they would get to the playoff for the first time ever. And who knows if this is a one-hit wonder deal or if this is a years-to-come kind of thing like Kirby at Georgia, but you at least knew. And for a school that does not recruit as well as the rest of the SEC, they needed to take what opportunity was given to them. And so when I look at the idea of, I mean, look at how far they came from last year, I'm like, right. And my school did the same thing. Louisville, we had the exact same season. We beat Florida State. Lamar Jackson won the Heisman. We thought we were going to make the playoff. We lost to Clemson. That was fine. We got smoked by Houston and lost to Kentucky, and all was lost. And at least we got a Heisman Trophy out of it. Hendon Hooker's not going to win the Heisman Trophy this year. To me, there is nothing tangible that comes out of this for Tennessee, especially if they lose to Vanderbilt on Saturday.
Well, you're right about the fact that it's not guaranteed that it's linear. That when the door's open, you better go through it, because that door might not open up again. And you are absolutely right about that. However, building a college football program is a series of successive steps. And one of those steps is for the staff and the players to show success, and for the players to be able to tell their friends in high school that are coming up behind them as recruits that this is the place you want to be. And then one success builds off another success. But just ask Alabama about that linear part. I mean, Alabama last year, the quarterback was the Heisman Trophy. He's coming back this year. You know, they have a chance to add receivers in the transfer portal to compensate for losing guys to the NFL that were hurt at the end of the year that cost them, you know, the chance for the national championship. The receiver core really was the problem in that. And all of a sudden this year, they're back with a vengeance, right? No, they're not. They lose two games. Now, those two games that they lost are to teams that, you know, right now are in the top 10. I mean, Tennessee was, and then LSU. But at the same time, Alabama, with all the stuff that they have built, they can tell you that it's not linear because they have taken a step back. But you need to, I think, also, you know, appreciate the long-term process of building a program. And I think that this is going to put a really super sour taste in their mouth, and they don't have many opportunities left now to change that sour taste. But I think it still is the program is in a much better position right now than I ever thought it would have been. I didn't think that they'd be this high. And keep this in mind, too, that even with that loss, and it was an ugly loss, it was terrible, it was unnecessary, it was inexcusable. But when the emotion dies down, they beat Alabama and LSU. LSU, the SEC West champions, Alabama, who they haven't beaten since forever, both are currently in the top 10 and both will likely finish in the top 10. And Tennessee knocked them off. And if I'd have told you before the season started that would happen on the way to a 10-win regular season that would also have some downs, I think most Tennessee fans would go, okay, that's all right. We'll take that as a step forward. Is it the step they wanted? No, because the whole thing was right in front of them. The playoff was right in front of them. All the publicity, all the features that ESPN and all the TV networks do on the four teams that make the playoffs, you're showcasing everything. All that just went away. All that just disappeared. It is a massive lost opportunity. But it doesn't erase the good things that they've done.
Will Tennessee beat Vanderbilt? I didn't think it'd be a real question that we'll have. We'll get into that with Trevor coming up next. Trevor Maddich is with us. Plus, the Lane Kiffin to Auburn rumors are on fire. Trevor Maddich is with us. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company, Trevor Maddich Tuesday, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics, when experience matters, and by Twin Peaks, home of wall-to-wall wall-to-wall sports and 29-degree drafts at your local Twin Peaks. Trev, I never thought I'd be asking you this question. Does Vanderbilt have a legitimate chance to beat Tennessee? Backup quarterback in there. Vols defense look like cheeks on Saturday. And the Vols have really nothing to play for except for a New Year's Six Bowl, which I don't know how much that matters to the players. Vandy is red hot. They've won two in a row. I love the coach. I'm not sure they're very good, though. But, I mean, the line's 14. 2 weeks ago, it would have been 35. What do we make of Vandy's chances on Saturday?
You know, Vandy really can't beat Tennessee, but Tennessee can. Now, Joe Milton, I think, is a very good quarterback coming in off the bench for Hendon Hooker. And he can do stuff. He really can. And even if the precision in the passing game isn't quite there, he can run the ball really well, and he still has a really strong arm. And while he's getting his ability to connect downfield with the receivers onto a good plane, the defense of Vandy still has to respect that. Thing about Vandy, though, is that they've proven in their two wins that they're really good at situational football. I mean, you look at the Florida game. I mean, Florida thoroughly outplayed them except for one place, and that is on third down conversions. I mean, Florida moved the ball up and down the field. They outgained them by about 150 yards, but Vandy converted 50% of their third downs. Florida converted only four for the whole game, and it was a 27% conversion rate. And that was the difference, that and the defensive touchdown for Vanderbilt. And so Vanderbilt has been playing pretty sound football up to their level of capability, and they have shown that they will take advantage of mistakes by the opponent, and they will they'll keep it close, you know, if the opponent isn't playing on all cylinders. And they're shown situational football is good too. So you move the ball up and down the field, all right, but they'll do something to get you off the field on third down. And this is where Tennessee cannot afford to overlook Vanderbilt the same way that they overlooked South Carolina, because the truth of it is, on a straight-up game where even with Joe Milton at quarterback, if Tennessee is locked in, Vanderbilt doesn't have a chance. Mm-hmm. But we just saw a game where Tennessee wasn't locked in, and the question now is, will Tennessee be able to get re-locked in and get peace in that locker room and stay focused in the week of practice? Because it's not out of the question that they couldn't get knocked off.
Trevor, Joe Milton's arm is freaking ridiculous. Is there a chance that he could play well enough in this game in a bowl game to become a legitimate NFL prospect?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that the NFL looks at your college career, and they'll look at numbers, and they'll look at stats and things like that, but more than that, they project you going forward into their league. And so, I mean, Tom Brady wasn't a great quarterback at Michigan. He was fine. He wasn't great. He was drafted in the sixth round, right? And he ended up being a great quarterback in the NFL. And I think since then, I think the NFL, in terms of the draft, are looking for guys that they can project a little bit more efficiently. If you look at Will Levis, the quarterback for Kentucky, you know, people still think that he could be one of the top five picks in the draft, even though his offense has really fallen by the wayside. And he hasn't played all that well, frankly. But when you look at his size, his strength, his potential for accuracy, his potential to grow into a prototypical NFL quarterback, they like that. And Joe Milton has the size. He's got the speed. He's got the physical characteristics. And NFL coaches will have to decide if they can coach him into being more accurate on the deep ball. And if they do, if they think that, then Joe Milton, I think, will have an opportunity to prove himself in the league, regardless of what happens the next couple of weeks.
Trevor Maddich is our guest. So these wild Lane Kiffin rumors about Lane Kiffin and Auburn. Huh. I guess there was a report that came out that Lane was art, that the deal was done, and then Lane quote tweeted the report and said that it was not true. I mean, if Lane's going to take out the report and say it's not true, it then would be kind of screwed up for Lane to turn around and actually go to Auburn. So is Lane Kiffin calling out the report of him going to Auburn, him squashing the rumor and that he's staying at Ole Miss, or is he going to Auburn? And honestly, Trevor, is Lane Kiffin really that good of a coach that Auburn thinks that he's going to solve all their problems? Because I don't think he's that good of a coach. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's that good of a coach.
Well, I think he's earned the right, though, to wait and pick his spot. I don't think he would go to Auburn unless he thought that was his spot. And maybe he does. Maybe he thinks that because of age, he can outlast Nick Saban and turn Auburn into Alabama.
How has he earned that right, though? He got fired at USC.
Well, here's the thing. He got fired. When you look at Tennessee, for example, in the 1 year he was at Tennessee, he did well enough to impress Nick Saban. And Nick Saban brought him on there when he had the opportunity. Over at USC, yeah, he got fired at USC. But at the same time, that was during the Reggie Bush sanctions. There were so many times when he couldn't even run a proper practice because he didn't have enough scholarship linemen. And if he just got a few of them banged up, that was it. He couldn't run a practice. Then they had to go out and play. And so he actually wasn't nearly as bad there as people think. The Raiders stint, he was actually a lot better than people think. I mean, before he got there, the Raiders weren't competitive. When he got there, the Raiders were competitive. They were still losing, but now they were close in games. You know, and then the owner at the time, Al Davis, decided he wanted to draft with the first pick of the draft, quarterback out of LSU, Russell Wilson, and Kiffin didn't want him. At least he told me he didn't want him. And next thing you know, he goes out there and kind of, you know, nothing happens with that, and it kind of undermines all the rest of the stuff that the Raiders were trying to do under Kiffin. I think overall, Kiffin is a better head coach than he gets credit for, and I think you can look at his success at FIU and at Ole Miss, and you could say that. So I do think he's earned the right as a coaching candidate at other places down the road, whether it's now or later, that he doesn't need to take a job that he doesn't think is the absolute right job. Now, it's interesting that I didn't hear him say, and you can read the tweet maybe, I didn't hear him say he's not going. I heard him kind of refute it and troll the reporter. Sure. I heard him say, hey, nice source, right? Well, nice source, if he ends up being the coach at Auburn on Friday, he could say, yeah, nice source, he got it right. You know, so I don't know what's going to happen there. All I know is that this is not one of those things where a coach has an opportunity and he better take it while the opportunity is there. Kiffin's going to have opportunities.
So apparently Chris Lowe reported within the hour that Lane Kiffin met with his players Tuesday and assured them that he hasn't accepted a job at any other school. Not that he won't accept a job at another school, but that he hasn't accepted a job at another school. Here's my thing. If you are going to take the Auburn job, which I think it's kind of a lateral move, but that's on you. But if you are going to take the Auburn job, you cannot troll the guy who said you're going to take the Auburn job if you then take the Auburn job. Now, if he knows he's not taking the Auburn job, and he knows that this reporter is going to be wrong, then you can troll him. But you can't troll him and then take the job, because then if you take the job, then the reporter was right all along, and you're wrong.
Yeah, but Kiffin's got the big megaphone on social media and everywhere else. This reporter was a local affiliate reporter, TV affiliate reporter in Starkville, which is the home of Mississippi State.
Sure.
Their big rival, right? And isn't it kind of interesting that this news broke the week of the Egg Bowl, mm-hmm. out of Starkville? And so that's an interesting thing there too. So, you know, if he spoke with Auburn and decided, you know, I'm not going to take that job, I would have expected him to say, I spoke with Auburn, because you speak with everybody. My agent talked to him.
Would you take that job?
You always take a phone call, but I'm not going. I am not going. I didn't.
Would you take that job? Would you leave the money from Ole Miss? Because you know Ole Miss will pay Lane whatever he wants. Would you leave the money from Ole Miss and take the Auburn job if that was you?
No.
I would not.
Because at Ole Miss, he can call his shots. At Auburn, he's going to be one of many.
They're crazy at Auburn. I want no part of that job if I've already got a job in the same division. Trevor Maddich, as always, presented by Twin Peaks and by Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters. Trev, great stuff. Have a very, very, very happy and football-filled Thanksgiving.
You too, Jared. Thanks, man.
Yep, Trevor Maddich joining us on the program. Would you take the – if you were Lane Kiffin and you were at Ole Miss, would you take the Auburn job?
No.
Of course, no, you wouldn't.
No. It would have to be for a lot of money, and I have to assume that Ole Miss is probably willing to throw the same dollar amount at Lane to stay.
Here's what Auburn doesn't understand. This is the same problem that Florida has run into for the last three or four hiring cycles, is you have to go get the guy at the minor leagues. You have to do it, unless you want to do what A&M did, and they hate their coach, or what LSU did, and they like their coach, running the risk of going somewhere and paying somebody an ungodly amount of money so that you can't fire them. That's the only other option. And so, I mean, I hate to say it, but I wouldn't go to Auburn. Those people are crazy.
And if I'm Lane, yes, the resources might be a little bit better at Auburn, but really, is it that much different? Is it that much better? Is your path to a championship that much clearer at Auburn than it is at Ole Miss?
I don't think it is clearer, and I'll tell you why. And I know they're doing away with divisions or whatever in a couple of years, or they're talking about it, or I don't even know where they stand
It's going to happen.
The crossover opponent for Ole Miss is Vanderbilt. The crossover opponent for Auburn is Georgia.
Yeah, good luck.
So that's a big difference.
And you're still playing Alabama every year.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ryan Tannehill returns to the scene of the crime on Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't even need to tell you what that crime is. You all know. You all remember. You all felt it. Do we think that this could be a problem for Ryan Tannehill? We'll discuss. Dominic Company, 1025-1063 The Game.